And it is Friday morning here on WWGH Radio, time for the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Again, this program can be heard every Friday morning, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. live, repeats on Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 a.m. live, and then on Wednesdays from 3:10 until 4 p.m. Also, check out the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to the program archive page, and it's the first one there, the Pastor Spot. And you can go back to March of 2018 and listen to some shows that have been done on this station. And also want to remind everybody, hopefully by the end of May here, we'll have a new program in relation to this program coming about on Sunday mornings during the noon hour. So stay tuned for that. And on that note, we pass it over to our host, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scott, and what a beautiful day it is. Oh, the sun's shining. It's wonderful outside. I'm ready to go out and enjoy that sun a little bit. It's just been so cold and damp, even with, it's really funny. The other day, I was at my son and daughter-in-law's farm picking up a tractor that I needed at my house to do some stuff. And I kept telling myself, it's kind of warm. I think this was Wednesday. And I said, it's kind of warm, but it's not that warm. I got to remember that when I get out of my truck and get on this tractor that doesn't have a cab, that I need to get up my jacket. Well, I forgot. And I got on the tractor. I got about a quarter mile down Route 257. It was like, uh-oh. And then I thought, I'm not going back. I'll just bear it. And it was a pretty chilly ride.
It was a very deceiving week. We had this 49 degrees awful weather Mother's Day, and then it got sunny the next day, and I think we were all, oh, this is great, but the temperatures did not go up.
We're not hanging in. Hey, I invite you to give us a call this morning here at the station. It is 740-383-9944 if you would like to talk to us or have any questions. And I also invite you to come to the church at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number there is 740-494-2222 if you have any questions. We are also at prospectccf.com. And our service times are Sunday. We have a 9:30 Bible hour and a 10:30 worship time, along with midweek services and youth gangs. And Colin will give you everything you need to know. But it's great to be here today. A lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of stuff locally. I hear we're going to lift a mask order, and that should be interesting to see how people I think people are starting to come out of their shells a little bit and do things differently. And you know, I think that it's not just because people aren't having to, don't need to wear the mask as much, but the sunshine and spring and flowers, and it has a tendency to make us all feel better. The smell of grass and just a lot of neat things. God gives us such a beautiful world to enjoy in the nature that we have. I really encourage you to get out and do that. I have something on my mind this morning that is a real concern for me, and it's a point of I don't usually get into too many things politically, and this really isn't. It is political, but I think it's as much spiritual or more spiritual than it is political. And my concern this morning is for what's going on in the Middle East right now, and to have people have a better perspective of what is going on. And you know, being a person that has always had an interest in that area of the Middle East and also followed over the years, I followed it for a long time. Not many people remember Begin when he was in Israel, or let's go all the way back to Golda Meir. I mean, we can go back quite a ways. And then again, we look on the other side with Yasser Arafat and what he did with Hamas for so long. And I remember one of the peace deals that they were making, he was asked, will this stop the fighting now? And he said, we'll never stop until Israel's driven into the sea. So there's some real deep grain attitudes there. And the Bible tells us that it'll happen, that eventually the whole world will turn on Israel. And the thing that I find very interesting is that Israel is a very strong ally of ours. But they are the only country in that whole region that shares the same humanitarian values that we do as a nation, and the same opportunity and the same liberties and all those things. But yet, people are very quick to get angry at Israel. And it's interesting to see. I don't think it's any surprise, but it's if you look at the common sense side of it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if you look at the area that Israel has given back and handed back. That whole area is in that West Bank has been ideal for oil production and a coast and all the different things they have, but yet Hamas has used it basically militarized the whole area. And it's like, come on, guys, if you want this great stuff, pick up and make something positive out of it. I've been watching on the news, the rocket blasts are just unbelievable. I know that I was watching a general with our commander with the Israeli army the other day, and he was sending the announcement out that we're going to bomb this particular missile site. We'll give you 1 hour to get everyone out of there. And the reason they're doing that is because and strategically Hamas has done this, is they will put their missile encampments or their missile placements inside of mosques, inside of hospitals, inside of residential areas, so that it's kind of hard to fire on them without killing people. And then when you have to fire on them to stop them, there is people and a lot more people that get killed that way. And that was the purpose of this guy saying, calling, look, we're striking this area. You've got an hour to pull the people out. But if you don't pull the people out, then the people are going to get killed. But if they don't shoot on them, the missiles are not going to stop. And the missiles coming from Hamas are indiscriminately being shot into every... They don't care what schools they hit. And we have to pay attention to... I think that a lot of times when you see women and children paraded on the street that were just killed in a blast, you really get angry. But I think that we forget and we don't often look at the backstory of why that is. Look, if you don't put your missile placements inside of populated areas, you're not going to get people killed. You see what I mean?
Well, this whole war has been ongoing now since the end of World War II. And it is it's very...
No, I'll take you back farther than that, Scott. This whole war has been going on since somewhere around A.D., nope, I'll take it back. BC.
Well,
that war has been nonstop from all the way back to the beginning of where the tribes were divided.
Well, the confusion of it is because it's a very interesting question, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the land war that we see now there in Israel and Palestine started because after World War II, we know what happened in Germany. We don't have to go through all that, what happened with Adolf Hitler. But a lot of Jewish religion people were displaced in concentration camps. So after World War II, when Russia and the United Kingdom and the United States went over and saw what was going on, and we had to divide up land and for some reason, Germany was pretty well destroyed after World War II because of what had happened. So they decided to take a lot of Jewish people, Israelis, out of Germany, and they gave them the land in Palestine, which at that point was occupied by the Palestinians. Israel in that time,
and
what Israel's, but the majority was Palestinian until after World War II, and the Palestinians clearly did not like this, giving away their land that it wasn't Germany's to give away. So that created a big problem, and it's a problem that still goes on today. Now, the question you asked early, which I think is very interesting, is why is there a resentment from a lot of people against Israel? Now, why I think that, just in the United States, honestly, it's more here. And I think the reason is because we have always been pro-Israel government. This is something that goes from Republican to Democrat. You could ask any Republican or Democratic president since World War II if Israel has a nuclear weapon, and they will say they don't know. They know. They do. They've always
sure
heard.
They do.
They've always, but the presidents won't say that because they are pro-Israel.
They're an ally, and they've been an ally and a staunch ally.
And the Anti-Defamation League here in the United States is essentially pro-Israel. Mm-hmm. There's an Israeli lobby in Washington. There's no Palestinian lobby. Never has.
Well, here's one of the big issues. One, Palestinian, the whole, they have never been a country with established boundaries to begin with. There wasn't any. It wasn't like they took part of someone's country and gave it away. Those boundaries were not there. They were did not belong to them. They were a basically it had been a no man's land. And the Israelis and the Palestinians intermingled a lot. What's really interesting about this, Scott, that I find very interesting, that most people probably would never believe in a million years, is that when you get into Jerusalem, for instance, Jerusalem is about 25% Palestinian. When you go into Tel Aviv, in the hospitals, there's Palestinians working right alongside Jews.
Oh, sure.
This is something where there are peoples that get along. The problem is the terrorists, which Hamas has always been a terrorist organization. No one argues that. And they're the ones that are stirring the trouble. They're the ones that are firing the rockets. They're the ones that are stirring up the whole pot and making a mess, and has been forever. Egypt is very struggling with them in that area right now also. However, Iran, all these rockets they got, they're coming straight from Iran. So it's not like America is the only one having problems with Israel. Iran wants them out of there too. They want them completely extinguished. They don't want them to have a territory. They don't want them to have an area. They want them extinguished. And they've wanted them extinguished since the beginning of that struggle, which was long before that. But the point being that the point I want to make is that we've got a country, a smallest country, a tiny little Israel over there. They're tiny. But everyone wants to destroy them. And if you follow Scripture, that's the way it's going to be. And the Bible points to these things. It's amazing the things that we study in Scripture. And we find that, wow, you know, there's no reason for this, but the Bible says it's going to happen anyway. And it is going to happen, and it's going to happen until the return of the Lord. There's not going to be peace in that region. But the point is that I'm making in America is we have defended Israel, and they've been a strong ally of the Jewish people because our Bible tells us to be. Our Bible tells us that God will bless those that bless Israel. And our government has followed that rule, and of all it has, I mean, Ronald Reagan just said, you know, said himself, and many others have, our demise will be the day that we pull our support away from Israel, because God is blessing us through the support of Israel. And the point of Israel being a place where they believe in human rights, and it's kind of like a microcosm of the United States in a way. And we've been the freest nation in the world, and they're the freest nation in the Middle East. But yet, people are quick to want to turn on them. It doesn't matter how many. Could you imagine how people would react if we were at war with someone and we were setting all of our military encampments right in the middle of populations of school children? Knowing the bombs were going to come in. Could you imagine the hatred that there would be an unbelievable verbal and physical and a radical explosion over that? But that's exactly what's going on with there. When I see politicians stand up and support what's going on there, it just blows my mind. Because why are you supporting this? I really don't get it. Now, you can support anyone you want. But what I'm saying is we cannot, as a nation, it'll be very much against our best interest to not support Israel. And we've always supported Israel. We support our allies. You know, look at the violations right now going on in China. You know, there are very people that are saying don't support Israel are supporting, say, support China with unbelievable atrocities going on over there right now with their people and the people that they and their own people that they're killing and doing things to. Right now, matter of fact, there's a group of Muslims that they're executing them, and just because they are. And we don't talk about that because we're so quick to listen to a short news clip or a politician, or well, they say this and I like them. You know, it's kind of like if someone says, say, when Trump's in office, you know, well, Trump says this is good, so I agree. Come on, wake up. I mean, if you want to support him in general things, that's fine. But if he goes to support something that's completely off base, you should have enough of your own understanding and knowledge on that, or desire to say, is this something I support or something I don't? And I think as a country and as a people, we have become so complacent, even in our thinking, that we just say, well, we'll let them take care about that. As long as I get my paycheck on Friday, as long as I get to go to the ball games on the weekend with my kids, as long as I get to go out and have a good dinner at Applebee's or wherever. You know, that's kind of going, we're going to buy a new car, but we're going to let all of them take care of that. A country can't survive with its population with that attitude. We have to be informed and understand. And now I can study something, Scott. I can look at something and look at I can study something and look at the backstory. I can study it and go the history of it, find all the intricacies about it, and I can come up with how I feel about it. Now you might study it and you look at the same things and say, you know, I don't quite agree with that. I don't agree with you. I see a different picture. And that's fine. It's called dialogue. It's what we're supposed to do. But what I would implore people to do is to look, to study, to understand. These things are far too important to just let them be left alone to be taken care of by people that we trust. Because the problem is, when we have trusted people, whether it's been in government or education or society or whatever, people, there's one thing I can always guarantee you about people. People, not every person and every time, but people will always let you down. And when you put your faith in people, you're going to get let down because we're fallible. We make mistakes. Sometimes we make huge mistakes. You know, the whole story about the judge here a couple months ago, or a month ago, whatever it's been, the judge in Warner, was that his name?
Yeah, Warner.
And his wife, you know, that was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, this guy, you know, I sat in court under him, and he sentenced me to blah, blah, blah for this. And now, like, you know, people are blown away by that. You know, the pastor that will stray from the faith and have an affair or find out that they're bilking money or whatever. And it just, you know, those people that have put trust and faith in that man, they collapse. They just, I don't believe this. Many people have walked away from the church over those things. But the truth is, we should be putting our faith in God. Because, see, that's the funny thing about faith, Scott, is that I can put my faith in God over something. And you cannot believe that and say, oh, you know, that's just the way you believe. It's not real. You know, faith's silly. And you can say, you know, prove that you got through that because of faith. Prove that the whole thing about faith is that with faith and you trust God, you know that whatever circumstances you go through, there's a level of trust that you have, and you can move on with your life and still have that trust. And if things are different, you have that faith to walk through life with, knowing they're going to get better. And you can trust God even through the difficulties. And that's something you can't always do with people. You know, if you're with someone and they're a very bad situation's coming up and you want to blame them, then you end up departing ways. But with God, there's no point in blaming God. We live in a fallen, broken world. And we're so quick to want to point a finger at people. I was talking to a fellow today, and he was telling me about someone that he recently was talking to that had been brought up in church. And their adult life has just been a mess. And not only necessarily brought on by themselves, just by situations around them that have just happened and been horrible. And he basically told him, you know, I could give you some Bible verses to look at and stuff. And this person had been robbed. He said, I don't want anything to do with it anymore. You know, God hasn't done anything for me. But what they don't realize is they haven't looked at the larger picture. What are the things God has done for you? How worse might it have been without God? You know, I love people like Helen Keller, who, my word, you're talking about overcoming, unbelievably overcoming. But she gives it all to God, and her trust in God, she gave it all to God and said, you know, this, through him I'm able to do this. Through him I'm able to trust and move on to the next day. And there's so many people like that. And I know that I start off talking about Israel, but my whole point being, even that situation in the Middle East, although we see it as political, although we see it as territorial, although we see it as a society issue, it does come back to a spiritual issue, because the Bible is full of Israel from beginning to end. Well, not very beginning, but it starts, you know, with Abraham being called out and God telling him that he's going to make him a great nation. And Israel goes all the way through the end of time in the Bible. And I think that if we understand what's going on there, we would have, first of all, what I would ask people to do is to pray for Israel. Pray for that situation. Pray for all of it. You know, would you believe me if I told you there's a lot of pro-Israeli Palestinians? But there are. But see, that doesn't make news. What makes news is conflict.
Well, it's interesting, because in this particular issue, it's an odd thing, because I think what's going on in the Middle East, it's territorial for them. But when you talk about the politicians and them getting involved, now, my understanding of that is that has, I don't think they really care who has that land over there at all. They don't live there. They don't govern that land. It doesn't do anything for them. But it is that there is an Israeli lobby. And an Israeli lobby is much like any other lobby in Washington. They give money to candidates who are pro-Israel, and they don't fund candidates who are not pro-Israel. And the political system is so driven by money now, because you've got to have money to be reelected, that if the Israeli lobby, and there is no Palestinian lobby, there is no Iranian lobby, there is no Soviet lobby, but there is an Israeli.
There's a good reason.
Right. But there is an Israeli lobby. And if the Israeli lobby is pumping money into the person you're running against, you're probably not going to be pro-Israel. That's an awful thing. But if there was no Israeli money in Washington, I don't think you would see the politicians care as much.
Oh, I do.
You think?
Oh, absolutely, because so many of them over the years have understood, those especially that understand faith and scripture, that it is a command of God for us to support Israel. And that's behind it far more than the money. I think that, you know, the way money changes, Israel's not that big anyway, you know, as far as there's a lot of ways money and lobbies can be generated without supporting a little country that big around. And I think it's because they understand, you know, we support Israel. We have from the get-go, and we always will. And that's just the way that's going. And that's a policy that has been a policy of our country from the beginning, okay? From not just 47. I mean, we have been support the Jewish people wherever they are, whatever country they've been exiled to. And we are to support them. So that's there's someone we support. So I can see why there'd be a Jewish lobby. But I can't see why we would even allow a lobby in this country. This is a terrorist-backed country. I mean, look at what Iran has been doing and the terror they send all over the world.
Well, I get.
And look at, you know, all those countries. I mean, Iran has come right out and said, we're going to take, given the opportunity, we're not going to bomb the United States off the earth. We're going to take care of Israel immediately. What concern does Iran even have with Israel to speak of? There's no territorial problem there.
Well, I think
it's hatred.
Right. But I guess, Germany is currently an ally of ours. The United Kingdom has pretty much been an ally since the Revolution, after the Revolutionary War. There's never been a United Kingdom lobby that pumped money
in. There doesn't need to be, because the United Kingdom is a self-sustained nation.
Right.
And we have had partnerships back and forth. Israel is a postage stamp. And they are being surrounded by the entire Middle East, and that would desire to wipe them out. So if they're going to be an ally of ours, there's going to be money pumped into Israel to help them sustain themselves.
No, they're
also a very strategic place for us in the Middle East.
I guess I'm talking more about money going. Why are they pumping money into Washington? Because if we are altruistically their ally,
keep the support. They feel they have to keep the support.
Right, but the United Kingdom doesn't. And
that's because they don't need to keep our support. It'd be, look, We can say we don't support the United Kingdom tomorrow.
Right.
At all. It is not going to affect their status one bit other than a whole lot of, you got to be kidding me, and it's going to affect business and trade and things like that. If the United States tomorrow pulls its support from Israel, okay, if we pull back, Israel's gone.
Right, but I think that's the moral question. Is that the reason we're supporting them?
Yeah.
And that's a problem, I think. What? If we're supporting them because they're giving us money.
No. We're supporting them because we need to support them. If Israel's giving politicians or people money, I mean, they didn't know all over the world. I mean, look who George Soros is funding all these people all through Washington, and George Soros probably gives more money to Washington lobbyists than Israel has the money to give.
And a lot of people hate him. And I think that's the problem. I think that's why there are anti-Israeli groups here in the United States that are not Arab or Palestinian groups, because any lobby, no matter who they are, if you fund something, that's why lobbies, a lot of people feel all lobbies should be abolished, because if you fund something to gain favor, because that's what it looks like, that's what George Soros is doing, he wants his politicians to gain favor. You're not going to like a group that's funding something you don't believe in.
Wow, there's a lot of people like George Soros.
Absolutely.
And he funds a lot of stuff none of us believe in.
Koch brothers, NRA, big lobbies.
I think, but the difference I think with NRA is, and Koch brothers, they're here. They're Americans.
Right.
Let them fund what they want. We're talking about foreign entities. And that's where Soros falls under. You know, we're talking about Koch brothers. NRA is totally funded by the United States of America and the people that live in it and values that they believe they have, whether you agree with them or not. Same with the Koch brothers. I mean, Koch brothers are here. We're talking about foreign entities interfering in our country. I think that's what we're talking about with Israel and a lobby.
Right, but I think...
And I think that what you have to look at in that is that the politicians and to what extent they're funding them, who knows, but the politicians, Israel needs to have as many politicians as Washington as they can supporting them and making sure that support's still there, and that's why they're funding. But the reason they need to make that support still there, because we're on a scale of Israeli support, non-support. And if we go too far to the non-support level and we pull our support and we have enough power, if people have enough power to pull that support from Israel, they're going to be swallowed up. And that's how they believe. I don't believe that's going to happen because God's not going to let it happen. They just don't realize it. But they need us. They need us far more than we need them strategically. Well, we need them because we have that strategic spot in the Middle East that we know that we can count on. We need that. But they need us, they feel, for their very existence. And if I were them, and I had somebody that, if I had a dog that was going to protect me from the other big dogs, I'd be feeding him as much food as he wanted. And that's, I think, what you're looking at there. Their agenda is self-preservation. People like Soros, their agenda is not self-preservation. Their agenda is getting their ideals in a certain part of the country and what they want to see happen. Completely different picture.
Well, I think one of the problems, though, is that the Anti-Defamation League, which was originally set up to, I mean, the term anti-Semitic, in this country. I mean, does anybody know what a Semite is when they say these words? I mean, a Semite is a small group, and it's supposed to protect all small groups that have a certain belief. So a Semite could be an Arab person. A Semite could be anybody who's a small group. But the Anti-Defamation League is, without question, you look who the leader of the Anti-Defamation League, they attack people who are anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, and they have cost them their jobs, and they have, in the United States of America, you can have an opinion, and if you are not pro-Israel, if you come out anti-Israel, and you're not a politician, you could be anybody. Mm-hmm. This happened to Marlon Brando when he went on Larry King years ago and said, Jewish people control Hollywood. The Anti-Defamation League made sure he would never work again.
But they did control Hollywood.
Right, but that's, and he was honest.
He was honest. But you know what's interesting with that is that we are at a time right now. Everyone's always known the Jewish jokes. If you, the negatives, because there's ones about Italians, every group, and I grew up in a time when people freely said stuff, and it was so on the surface that they said it back and forth to each other, and they didn't get so worked up over it. But I remember, I won't tell any Jewish jokes, but I can remember some.
Oh, sure. And there are words.
And there are words. But the thing is that for years, those kind of went away. And I've noticed, just because I have grandchildren, and I have them at all the way from college all the way down to babies, and I hear things that is suddenly reappearing on the scene that seems to be okay. If you go into any school group and you use the N-word, those kids can be snow white in pigment, and they're going to call you out on it right now. But if you talk to, so, oh, you're just Jewish. That's a real common phrase now.
It is.
You're Jewish. Oh, absolutely. You're so Jewish. How is that any different than the other? It is no different, but yet that is being accepted right now in this country. And people can talk that way. What's his name? Who's the band leader of Pink Floyd? His name just slipped my mind.
Oh, I
remember. Roger Waters.
Well, yeah.
Roger Waters has a group, and you've probably heard of this, that is, if any performer goes to Israel to perform, he has a group that is lobbying to blacklist all of them that go to Israel. I threw all my Pink Floyd stuff. I'm not listening to it. What a jerk. I mean, that's not his place to do that.
Well, you know what? Back to what you just about the because kids do this now, and if you haven't heard it, you'll hear it. When they'll call somebody that's Jewish. And the first time I heard that in the school. Now,
it is popular in the school now.
It is. It is very popular. But you know the interesting thing about the two words you use there? Now, because I did this, because I really didn't understand that. I really didn't understand, were they talking about the Jewish religion? Were they talking about Jewish people? And what did it mean? And what's the connotation? So I called some kids in, and I have done this many times over the years. I've talked about this on this show because I find this a weird fact. If I say, when you call somebody the N-word, what are you meaning? And they know. They know exactly what they're meaning. It's no doubt about it what they're calling them. If I say, when you call somebody Jewish, what do you mean? They have no idea. What is the definition? If I say, you're Jewish, which is what the kids say, they have no idea what. I don't even think they know what the slang is. It's just to them, the kid knows it's a derogatory term. It's like jerk. You're a jerk. We know it's derogatory, but define what jerk is. You can't. Somebody you don't like. People don't know what it's that word has become a derogatory word, but the kids have no idea what that means.
Some of the ones I've talked to have.
Well, what does it mean when you call somebody Jewish? What's the connotation?
You're a jerk about money. You're tight. You wouldn't give anybody a dime. Blah, blah. That's basically what
financial.
It's financial, and it's mostly financial. It means you're a jerk. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't see a difference in. I think both. Using both words and calling someone either one of them is just as derogatory.
Oh, it is.
It is. But why is it? I'll tell you something. A kid can walk in our hall in our school today, in any one of our school districts, and say to a kid walking down the hall, oh, you're just Jewish, and their teacher will walk right beside them and never say a word.
Right.
Right. Do you see a problem with that?
Well, you know what I think that's about, to be honest with you, is that when we would study Anne Frank, and I don't know if the kids still do that in middle school or not, but when we were studying Anne Frank in my middle school, which was in Marion, Ohio, we had one Jewish teacher in the school, and everybody knew who it was, and that's you just knew. And I remember one year, and it would happen a lot, somebody drew horribly a swastika on her chalkboard. Horrible. Horrible thing. And I don't know if they ever caught the kid, but it was just awful. But there was only one teacher. And It wasn't as easy to point out as race is sometimes, as job is. And I think that's why that is. And I also think a lot of people who are... People see Jewish as a religion. And if you're not of that religion, it tends not to bother the people for some reason. It's very strange. You know, I remember the first time I talked to a rabbi, because I didn't know what a rabbi believed and didn't believe. And the rabbi believes this is it. There's no heaven, there's no hell, this is life, live your best life. That's interesting.
That was that rabbi.
Yeah.
That's not most rabbis.
Well, this is, you know, a lot of rabbis.
Nah, I wouldn't agree with that. If they believe the Old Testament, they don't believe that.
Why, these, some do.
Okay.
I don't think that would be prevalent in other religions. If you were a pastor, if you were a priest, I don't think you could walk in on Tuesday for them and say there is no heaven, which some rabbis do.
Yeah, I mean, like for instance, like David. I mean, they all hold up King David for who he was, and King David, when upon his son dying, said that he'll see him again. And I mean, they definitely had that following that belief. But you know, like all things Jewish are very similar to all things Christian. A lot of people today call themselves Christian. There's nothing Christian about what they do whatsoever. There's a lot of pastors that call themselves, are in a Christian church, that are teaching anything but Christ. So you're going to have some rabbis that are going to teach anything but the truth of the Old Testament and what the Old Testament says, and that's sad to say, because they still can be labeled a rabbi. But I think that the thing is, in a school, okay, we're going to say it's okay and say, well, they don't know what they're saying. For a kid walking down the hall saying, oh, you're Jewish, you're just a stupid Jew. And I've heard that one too. Okay, we're talking about a group of people that 6 million of them were slaughtered, were starved to death, were worked to death, babies ripped out of their mother's arms and gassed and killed. The atrocities of the Holocaust are unbelievable. And we're not going to think it's a big deal for our young people to be making fun of them? I mean, if that, to me, that really says volumes about how sad things are in our society at this point. When we can pick and choose what group is racism and what group is okay. You know, it's okay in this country for politicians to get on television and blast Christians. And some of them have been elected in the last few terms, you know, and said horrible things about Christians. How about the fact that Christian pastors are the basically the dirt of the earth, and then they get elected into public office in our country? The point is, we pick and choose according to what people, the politicians, want to do, and according to what the media wants to say about who we're going to support in this country. And if we're truly a loving country, okay, if we're the loving people that we claim that we are, and we are the people that are holding the moral balance all the time, we should be supporting a country in Israel that supports the same things we do. They don't want to attack Palestine or anyone else. They want to be left alone within their borders and have a good, honest, democratic society like they do. We should be supporting all these groups in our country. We shouldn't be picking and choosing what groups are worthy of protecting and what groups are okay and free game, and we do that openly. And we have to stop it. You understand what I mean? People can make fun of Christians today. That's an open... No one is making a big deal in this country right now about the thousands of Christians being slaughtered weekly around the world, only strictly because they're Christians. And man, you need to subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs. You'll get the book. You'll get it once a month or magazine. It is mind-boggling what's going on in this world. But yet you can show some clip in Palestine of some dead children, which is horrific to me. And all of a sudden you can hate a whole country over it. But in Nigeria, they can be beheading kids and parents all day long, and nobody says, well, No big deal.
Well, and I think that is because the United States has always, look at all the politicians, we've always had a hand in trying to make peace between Israel and Palestine, constantly. We have never had more involvement with any other country, period, than those two. We are obsessed with it. Jimmy Carter was obsessed with it. Johnson was it. Nixon was obsessed with it. Reagan was obsessed with it.
You know why? Because God said he'll bless those who bless Israel.
Right. And they bring them together all the time. Sadat was murdered because of this.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
I remember that, too.
Yeah.
And he was Egyptian.
Egyptian. Murdered because of this. And so was... who was the guy in the...
Begin?
Begin. Yeah, he was murdered.
Menachem Begin was murdered.
Murdered. There... And it's...
And all they were trying to do was have peace. But understand
because they
something.
Wanted that.
Remember what Arafat said. Arafat said, and he's their holy one. You know, he's gone now, but Arafat said, we will never have peace with Israel, no matter how many treaties and how much we're given, until we drive them into the sea. And that is the general attitude, and that will not change.
But you know, the Sadat thing is very sad, because that was the first time two had ever sat down. Sadat and Arafat sat down with American journalists. Walter Cronkite and Barbara Walters were the two. People can watch the interviews.
I remember.
They sat down.
I'm old.
70s, you're right. And I don't know if that makes you old, though. Are 70s old now? If you're born in the before the 70s?
Probably.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. But they sat down, and these two men, now the two men who had said such horrible stuff about each other, when they sat down with each other, they were fine. And a matter of fact, Sadat said, will you come to my country? And Arafat said, I would. And Arafat said, come to my country. And Sadat said, I would. Sadat was dead in 2 weeks by his own people.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Why?
Because the Jews and the non-Jews in that region have hated and fought, and there has been a division forever, and it really isn't going to get better. It's great that we protect Israel and keep Israel safe, and I think that if we had a firm policy across the board and let everyone know, like we have, that we are not going to stop our support for Israel. I think that it may tend to slow things down a little bit. I don't know. But I know that I want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And I can't believe we're out of time.
Yeah.
This has been a good show.
Been a good show.
It's been a very informative show.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we had good back and forth. Hey, everybody, get informed.
Yeah.
And then I want to see you in church on Sunday,
there
too,
you go.
This Sunday. So God bless you all. Take care.
The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after 7, one of them said, I had a dream. I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. Now I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The other one said, I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too. It's a dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and I got so lonely.